Hi, my name is Caitlin Pizzonia. I work as a research associate at the University of Southern Maine, and I also work as an epidemiologist embedded at the Maine CDC. I'm a fairly new epidemiologist. I started working with them in February 2016, and I'm here to talk to you today about evaluating the use of all-payer claims database for medication adherence among Maine adults in 2015. This is a pretty big topic, and I'll be going through it rather quickly, but I did pass around handouts for you guys to follow along. Hypertension affects 3 in 10 adults. BRFSS data shows that 30.1% of U.S. adults have hypertension, and in Maine, that rate is slightly higher. What we do know is that medication is effective at reducing high blood pressure. Particular to the 1305 grant, we know that if people are adherent to their hypertension medication regimen, it can reduce the incidence of cardiovascular disease outcomes, particularly stroke, heart attack, and heart failure. Maine CDC's 1305 program has interventions that are aimed to improve hypertension control and medication adherence, so we needed a way to see the impact of these interventions. So the purpose of this analysis was to calculate a statewide baseline for hypertension medication adherence using the proportion of days covered method, and then to evaluate the usefulness of our data source, Maine's all-payer claims database, for this particular measure. So when we talk about medication adherence, we're talking about people taking their medication as prescribed. This is pretty hard to measure and capture accurately. In an ideal world, we would have pill counts, but there's a lack of data sources capturing whether people take their medication as prescribed. And so what's sort of evolved over time is that people are using pharmacy claims to measure the days a person has access to their prescribed medication. So I'll talk a little bit about the data source and then the proportion of days covered method. So the Maine all-payer claims database has both mail order and retail pharmacy claims. And the payers reporting to this data source include Medicaid and some private insurance. For this analysis, we used pharmacy claims only. We briefly toyed with the idea of using both medical claims and pharmacy claims and linking medical claims based on a hypertension diagnosis using ICD codes and then people's pharmacy prescriptions, but we were not able to link all member IDs. So that's why we decided to move forward with using pharmacy claims only. Because of that, we only examined ROSA medications, which are renin-angiotensin system antagonists. This is a type of hypertension medication that's only used for hypertension, whereas other types of hypertension medication could be used also for other cardiovascular disease. This is a list of variables that is included in the pharmacy claims data. We had the member ID, payer, the prescription fill dates, the day's supply for the medication, the date of birth to calculate age, resident, zip code, county, the drug name, class, and code. So proportion of days covered is the total number of days a person has medication over the total number of enrollment days times 100%. And if this percentage is greater than or equal to 80%, a person is considered adherent to their medication regimen. This is endorsed by the Pharmacy Quality Alliance and is a bit more conservative than the medication possession ratio, if some of you are familiar with that measure. I found this to be a measure that's a little difficult to comprehend, so I created this graphic to show sample patients or members that might be considered adherent or non-adherent. The first patient, these are all fictitious, 00014, shows somebody who starts medication in the beginning of the year and takes it fairly consistently but has a small gap in coverage towards the end of the year. This person would be considered adherent. The second patient is somebody who starts the medication mid-year and takes it consistently towards the end of the year. This person would also be considered adherent. So when I talked about that denominator, the number of enrollment days, that's calculated based on when a person initiates medication, not necessarily the entire calendar year. And again, with the last patient, 0016, we see somebody who initiates medication in the beginning of the year, has a small lapse in coverage, and takes it for the remainder of the year. When we think about non-adherence, we can think about a patient who takes medication fairly regularly but also has regular lapses in coverage. We could also think about somebody who takes medication in March and then has almost, 4 or 5 month lapse in coverage. That person would be considered non-adherent. For the data analysis, we looked at adults aged 18 to 85. They had to be Maine residents. And their first prescription for ROSA medications had to be filled between January 1st and September 30th of that year. They had to have at least two prescriptions for ROSA medications and at least 90 days of continuous medication. Those last two inclusion criteria were included since some people might start hypertension medication and then quickly adjust their regimen based on their doctor's recommendations. So we wanted to have people who are consistently taking and kind of know their medication regimen. This slide shows how we calculated our denominator of 105,663 Maine adults. For those of you unfamiliar, Maine has a population of 1.3 million, so this is actually 8% of our population. We analyzed the proportion of days covered by sex, age, insurance, and then age and insurance. So we looked at all adults 18 to 85 on private insurance or Medicaid, and those adults age 65 to 85 on private insurance or Medicaid. And we also examined it by county, public health district, and rurality. Our rurality variable is based on the rural-urban commuting codes, using a definition based on New England Rural Health Roundtable's Rural Data for Action. So I'll briefly go over the population. So we have slightly more females in our analysis than males. Almost half of the population was urban, and then over half of the population are living in varying degrees of rural areas. The members in the analysis tend to skew towards an older population. And 85.7% of this population we analyzed in the data set were on private insurance only. Only 11.1% of people analyzed in this data set were on Medicaid, and about 20% of Mainers are on Medicaid, so this might be an underrepresentation. This slide shows the age distribution by insurance type. So we see that among those on private insurance, they tend to be a little bit older. Among those on Medicaid only in this population, they tend to be a little bit younger. And among those on both Medicaid and private insurance, the largest age group is those aged 45 to 54. So our results. So we found that 85.5% of adults in Maine were adherent to their medications. Medication adherence does increase with each age group, and we did find statistically significant increases among patients aged older than 65 compared to those younger than age 65, and that's reflected in this bar chart with the darker shade bars. We did not find any significant differences by sex. We did find differences in adults on Medicaid and those on private insurance. Those on private insurance were more likely to be adherent to their medication by about 7%, and this it was consistent for all adults and adults aged 65 to 85. And you can see this disparity exists even among those who are duly covered by private insurance and Medicaid. We have results by geography. The results were pretty small. The rates by county ranged between 83.2 and 86.3. Those in York County, which is in southern Maine, that tends to be a wealthier county with more access to services, had a higher medication adherence rate, and those in Waldo County, which tends to be a poorer county, had lower rates of medication adherence. And interestingly, there were no differences in medication adherence rates between rural and urban areas. So the limitations of this study. So the PDC method measures access to medications based on the pharmacy claims data. So it doesn't actually measure whether a person took the medication as prescribed. Not all Mainers are included in this database. We don't have information on those on Medicare, TRICARE, or small private insurers. And this analysis reflects one class of medication, not all hypertension medication. There are differences in accurately measuring adherence based on varying fill periods. So what I like to think about is if somebody has a 30-day fill, they have to pick up their prescription once a month. So they have 12 opportunities in a year to pick up their prescription or also miss their pickup for prescription. Whereas if somebody has a 90-day fill, they only have to pick up their prescription 4 times a year. So by default, somebody with varying fill periods has a difference in the opportunity for a coverage gap. Another issue is that we can't easily determine whether mail order or their retail pharmacy claims. And our thought there is that mail order pharmacy claims might be on automatic refill, and so it might not necessarily be a great proxy for medication adherence. So for our discussion, we were able to use this data source to find the first hypertension medication adherence, and we were able to get a lot of good information about subpopulations and geography. There was an MMWR article published in September of 2016, and it looked at medication adherence among Medicare Part D beneficiaries. They found that in the U.S., the medication adherence rate was 79.6%. In Maine, for all hypertension medications, it was 79.3%. And when they looked at it by demographics, they also found there was little difference by sex, which was consistent with our findings, and there was a lower rate of adherence by those who were Medicaid eligible. They found adherence decreases with age, but again, they were looking at an older population exclusively. So in the future, we'll need to work with MaineCare to improve medication adherence and continue to monitor it over time. And one of our challenges is going to be that there was a Supreme Court case decision that will likely decrease the number of payers submitting to the database and the number of submissions. Basically, this Supreme Court case found that it would be a burden for insurers to report both to state claims databases and their ERISA reporting requirements. The PAC program is working with Maine Independent Community Pharmacists. They've been working on a medication adherence project for the past 2 years. They've also been working with MaineCare's community care teams. They're trying to include community health workers as part of their community care team. Maine's been working with Maine Quality Counts, working on quality improvement to improve the care for patients with both diabetes and hypertension. And in addition to having MaineCare community health workers, they're trying to work to create an infrastructure for all community health workers in Maine with trainings and core competencies. So I'd like to thank my collaborators at the University of Southern Maine and the Maine CDC and disclose that I don't have anything to disclose. I'm not funded by any pharmaceutical company, and I'd be happy to take your questions at the end.